Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
We welcome you again to another segment in our discussion this week, Make It Practical, and we're looking at the theme Faith and Works. Today, we focus on the Rahab story. Yesterday, we talked about Abraham, right, the gold standard of ancient righteousness. But today, we're looking at James throwing us a curveball by pairing the great patriarch with an unlikely hero, Rahab, a woman with a complicated past, a marginalized status, and of course, a dangerous present. Why does the Bible put a pagan prostitute on the same pedestal as the father of Israel? It sounds so incorrect, so wrong. We're exploring the beautiful truth that faith isn't reserved for the spiritually elite. No, it's for anyone from any background who is willing to risk their safety for the truth of who God is. We'll see how Rahab, split-second decision-making, proved her faith was the real deal. So join us as we study together this morning with the pastor. Mfundisi, good morning to you and welcome.
Very good morning, Viridi, and good morning, listeners.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
I'm pleased to be here.
Ah, marvelous, marvelous. Thank you, Mfundisi. And we are also glad to have you over as we continue in our study. Mfundisi, we are still looking at this passage from James chapter 2, where we are looking at delving deep and understanding the meaning of faith that works, right? A faith with works, a faith and works, and trying to look at it from all perspectives. Now, James in this chapter goes and contrasts Abraham, the patriarch, the father of faithful, like we said, with Rahab, a Gentile prostitute. It seems like we're comparing apples and bananas, or even worse, apples and rocks. Why is it significant that he uses Rahab in this particular as an example of living faith?
This actually highlights that God's grace knows no bounds.
Okay.
Yes. God can use a crooked stick to draw a straight line. Yes, he is God. He's a wonder-working God.
And
it's a lesson to us not to judge anyone when they are still under construction. Maybe their paint is still wet. Rahab's story shows that true faith can emerge from the modern, from the most broken places. It's very possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does not call the qualified, remember, but he qualifies the called. Yeah, so long you say, "He am I, Lord, do send I," irrespective of your gender, irrespective of your status, irrespective of your age, even your race, God can still use you.
He can use anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rahab, a gender prostitute, is an unlikely example of living faith, though. But it shows, it highlights God, that God is a God who knows no bounds.
You know, when you look at Abraham's story, and we covered this a couple of days in this series, we looked at how he was called to make quite a huge sacrifice, right? And he was called to put his life, I mean, there was a risk. Number one, he was called to leave his family and travel to a place that he doesn't know. Then he was called to, in the journey, to separate with his own family, with Lot at some point. And then he was called to offer. It was like there was always risk and sacrifice at every turn of Abraham's life. Do we see this as well in the life of Rahab, where her faith is asked and put to the test? Is it that sometimes a faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted? Do we see Rahab's faith being tested as well, and she has to risk?
Yes, indeed. You know, in Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, there you see Rahab risked her life by hiding the Israelite spies and sending them off safely. That was a serious risk. By as far as the Israelites is concerned. So she chose obedience over comfort, trusting God's promises.
Yeah.
And so this is a call for us also.
Yeah.
Whenever our obedience is put at risk over comfort, you know, it's better that we trust God's promises and stick to the promises of God. You know, my favorite writer in the book, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 644, writes, "Faith is the only means by which it is possible to obey God." you know. So yes, she did show some risk.
Mm-hmm. And this,
yeah,
kind of,
think of a time when you had a, yeah, you know, think of a time. I know you have had one also.
Okay.
When you had to take a risk to follow God's leading.
Yes.
I remember at schools sometimes the lessons do end on Friday evening, where we are tested to break principle. But in most cases, you know, those are occasions when our faith is put at risk.
Occasions that we need to do something about, I guess, and then ensure that we follow through on the right side. And I think we need to pray if we are doubting ourselves, which should ought to be all the time, and ask, like Peter did, increase our faith, so that we can represent him well. Rahab's story, Moruti, how do we see that true faith can be found in the most likely of places, perhaps even in broken places? Can we see that in the story of Rahab?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rahab's story shows God's delight in redeeming unlikely people. Her faith led to her inclusion in Jesus' genealogy. You know, and what a place to be. Not only to mention the hero's acre of faith of Hebrews chapter 11.
Yeah.
She is also lying in tate there at the hero's acre of faith. You know, but the top of the, you know, the most, you know, the most unlikely thing that can be expected from a character like Rahab is for her faith leading her to inclusion in the genealogy of Jesus. Right there, she's there also. So, you know, God's love is infinite, and it is not confined to one people or one nation. You know, consider the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus revealed himself to her, and she became a powerful witness, leading many to faith.
Yeah.
You know, you may talk of the woman caught in the very act of adultery in John chapter 8. You know, and my favorite writer, actually, when she describes her, she says that this woman at the end, she was left standing behind two types of stones.
Mm.
On one side was the pillar of stones with which we were supposed to die.
Yeah.
But on the other side was the rock of ages.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And she became the last to leave the cross on Friday, but became the first to arrive at the tomb on Sunday.
Wow.
I'm now just being reminded because we're in the Easter. Because why? Because love can transform a sinner to a saint.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's an unlikely transformation. A very unlikely transformation. So Rahab's story shows that it shows God's delight in redeeming unlikely people.
I like how Simon the leper responds to Christ's question about this Mary when he says, who would love more, the master, right? Those forgiven less or those forgiven much? And I call it the fetched from far syndrome, right? Because, hey, she knows where she comes from. She's like, you know what? I've got to give him my everything because mine is an unlikely story of salvation. I thought I was not worthy, and yet he found worthy in me. That's something quite profound. And I guess ours, everyone's, is an unlikely story, because when truth is told,
indeed,
we are not worthy to receive salvation from Jehovah, so we really ought to,
indeed,
give him our all. Thank you, Mfundisi.
Ah, for sure, man, for sure.
What ways does our community, Muruti, or culture even, hide from the reality of God, and how can we perhaps be like Rahab in our own context and maybe turn from the current and go to the place where God is wanting us to go, or be willing to risk everything for the sake of doing that which God is saying we must do? How can we do that in the community as it hides from the reality of God?
Yeah, we can be Rahabs in our context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our communities often hide from God through indifference or distractions.
Yeah.
So we can be Rahabs by sharing God's love, welcoming strangers, and acting with courage. Those three paramount things. Number one, sharing God's love. Number two, welcoming strangers. Number three, acting with courage. You know, my favorite writer in the book, Deserve Ages, page 120, says, let us be as little children, humble and teachable, and then God will lead us by the hand and make us acquainted with his ways. So you can begin today. Invite a friend or a neighbor to church or even to a Bible study. Share your story, and then God's love with them. Just share, and then God will do the rest. God will do the rest. That's being a Rahab in your community.
When you look at God's grace? How does understanding how it empowers us to act in obedience rather than just that idea of understanding His grace? Talk to us about it, how it empowers us, Muruti, to even a space of feeling motivated.
Understanding God's grace motivates obedience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it motivates obedience rather than waiting for feelings, you know. So instead of waiting for feelings, your understanding of His grace, it actually will motivate your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Rahab's story shows that faith can lead to action. You know, God's grace is sufficient for every trial, and His love is greater than any affliction. That's the Ministry of Healing, page 297.
Mm.
His grace is sufficient for every trial.
Mm.
And His love greater than any affliction. You know, so it is for us every time to reflect on God's grace in our lives and to see how He has motivated us to obey as well as to save others.
Mm. Indeed it is. What can we learn about the cost of obedience as well when we look at the story of Rahab?
Rahab's obedience required risking her reputation.
Mm.
It required risking her security and even her life.
Mm.
And her story teaches that obedience often comes with a cost.
Yeah.
But it does not end in the cost. It leads to redemption. First the cost, but then the redemption. Remember yesterday we said, no easy road to Canaan. You have to go to Canaan via the wilderness.
Via the wilderness, yeah.
But it's not for you to perish in the wilderness. In the wilderness, you are taught now to look up and to see the presence of God 24/7.
Yeah.
That He sustains you.
Yeah.
So wilderness is opportunities for you to drink the water from a rock.
Mm.
Water gushes out from the rock in the wilderness. Not in Egypt, not in Canaan.
No.
But it's in the wilderness.
Yeah.
It's in the wilderness. That's when you have. So when you find yourself in the wilderness, then it's your opportunity to drink the water from the rock.
Mm. To receive,
you know, manna rains in the wilderness. Manna rains in the wilderness. It does not rain in Egypt or even in Canaan. Manna rains in the wilderness. You know, so Patriarchs and Prophets, page 644, says the path of obedience is the path of safety, the path of peace, the path of happiness. It's in the fiery furnace, the seven heated fiery furnace, that the 40 men get revealed.
Mm.
And, you know, yeah, though they are risky, but those risks, they lead to redemption.
There's greater splendor and greater service and greater revelation of Jehovah in those risky spaces, I think. Thank you for this.
Amen and amen.
Let's conclude our lesson, Pastor, with the final verse of the chapter we have been looking at. This passage of James chapter 2, as he concludes his lesson on faith, he wraps up in verse 26 and says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." How does this analogy perfectly summarize this entire passage, this entire lesson that we've been trying to cover here?
James 2:26 illustrates that faith without action is lifeless.
Mm.
So Rahab's works, they validated her faith,
okay,
demonstrating her trust in God. Without mentioning what she did, we will not be knowing that she had faith.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, so her works, what she did, taking all those risks, hiding those spies for safety, and even releasing them at a peaceful time, those are the works that validated her faith. So faith and works are two oars in a boat, which if used together, they will carry the soul safely to the desired heaven.
Mm.
That's the call for us also to make sure that you use both those oars when you are sailing in a boat. You can't use one.
Mm.
And as we are treading the journey to our desired heaven, let's make sure on one side is faith, on the other side is works.
Amen.
Justifying and validating our faith.
Certainly. Certainly. As you mentioned, this idea of you can't use one. If you've got only one oar on the boat that you are using, you're going around in circles, going nowhere at all.
Ah, indeed. Indeed. Indeed.
So, yeah, we definitely need both. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for another beautiful lesson as we went through our conversation. We can't wait to see how we will close it up as we meet again tomorrow. God bless you, and thank you once again.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Same to you, Murutu. Pastor Michael Musagu is joining us this morning as we are looking at this important subject, faith and works. And the lesson today centered around the story of one Rahab and how she, because of what she did and her demonstration of faith, but also her works, she is rubbing shoulders with giants such as the patriarch Abraham.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.